God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dipto?
Here.
Mr. Freer?
Here.
Mr. Menzies?
Here.
Mr. Sanford?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mayor Bertello?
Here.
You have a quorum.
That brings us to our special order of business. I would, before we move to the first item, add a third, which will be the selection of the deputy mayor. And at this point, we have an opportunity first to recognize our outgoing assembly members. I think it would be fair to say that one of the great hallmarks of the American system is the fact, whether we're talking at the federal, state, or local level, one of our great contributions to the world is the idea of peaceful and orderly transition of government. And we get to exercise that as tens of thousands of communities around the country get to do every year. And we're at that point tonight where three of our members will be stepping down, two of whom actually helped us in the continuum of government during the course of this year, where they transitioned for other assembly members who had to leave early. And I'll briefly express my thanks and then perhaps do a little more detail in a moment. But I want to give each of the members an opportunity to speak, and I will do it in ascending priority and begin with Peter.
Well, thank you. And first I'd like to thank the assembly for having the confidence in me to select me for filling out the remaining portion of Bob Dahl's term. I was first elected to the Assembly 28 years ago. It hardly seems possible it could have been that long ago. I was a young man, and I wasn't quite sure what I was getting into, but quickly learned. Yet when I took the seat here in July of this year, after many years of not being on the Assembly, it felt as though I had never left, and I felt very comfortable in the chair and doing the work of the community. So I want to thank all of you, and I want to thank everyone in the audience and in the listening audience for this chance to serve the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Mel?
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, I have to give my remarks similar to Peter. It's been a long time since I've sat up here and served, but I very much enjoyed it, and I very much thank you for selecting me, not elected, but selecting me to fulfill another's term. I appreciate the honor and the opportunity to serve our community. And I want to thank all of you for continuing to serve our community and the newly elected members. I think you all do a great job, and you're needed. I just returned after a couple-week trip and heard Rod pick the retirement day. I want to thank him for his service as commissioner of one of our departments in Alaska and as an assembly member and as a really good manager for all these years. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Menzies. I finally call on classmate, good friend, and Deputy Mayor Merrill Sanford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know that I'm a man of few words, but my wife typed up a few things for me. I just have three things that I want to say to everybody. And first of all, I just want to talk to you just a minute or two about lands. Lands in Southeast Alaska are the most restricted there are anywhere in the United States. We've got 17 million acres of national forest, and we just about can't touch any of it. So it's very important as you deliberate, my fellow assembly members, as you deliberate in the next years, that you pay attention to what you're doing with our little bit of lands that we have. We have 28,000 acres of land. Six or seven or eight of that is already committed to either building or part of our building areas and our schools and everything else that we do. A bunch of it's in hilltop mountains and beautiful lakes and stuff like that. So we don't have a bunch of land available to us to do whatever we want to. So don't lock it all up. please. We don't have the availability in Southeast Alaska to do that anymore. We have to pay attention very sincerely. Less than 1% of our lands in Southeast Alaska are in private ownership. Less than 1%. You will not find that anywhere in the United States. It is a little bit of an anchor around our neck. It is the big gorilla in the room. So please, when you deliberate on our lands that we have left here, that you do so with great in-depthness, and you pay attention to what you're doing. It's very important for the future of our kids and our grandkids. The second thing is neighborhood needs. This past year or two, we have had to make some very hard decisions that weren't right in line with individual neighborhoods that we have. But I can think of three or four things that we've done that were not in line with the neighborhoods. And that's the most difficult thing for us to do, because we all want to please our constituents and our friends and our neighbors and our family members that might live in a neighborhood, that we have to maybe vote a different way than what they wish. Again, you as assembly members need to really pay attention to that and search your soul and your hearts, because it can get down to that very easily. And just three examples. The asphalt plant out on Industrial Boulevard, a little small asphalt plant that has served us well for the last 5 or 6 years after it finally found a place to be. And it has produced a lot of asphalt for our maintaining our roads and getting our neighborhoods up to par, and has not hurt a thing. It's a good commercial use of that land, and there was a big uprising about putting an asphalt plant in that industrial area. And so it hasn't hurt a thing. It's done well for us. 12th Street rebuild. No matter what you say, it is not right in tune with some of the neighbors on 12th Street. Most of them, I think that it was a good project now and like it. But 12th Street was another one that got very intertwined with our thinking up here and the neighborhood's thinking. 12th Street has turned into a beautiful project in my mind. And all you have to do is drive down through there and see the availability of sidewalks for people to walk on safely compared to what it was when we were all growing up here. And Peter and Bruce and I, all from the same class, racing our cars down there too fast. That still happens. But there's other ways of taking care of that. But that turned in, and all of that flats area being rebuilt in the past 5 years, I think has turned into a really nice neighborhood again and upgraded it a great deal. But again, it was a hard decision to go against some of the things in there that the neighbors wanted. And then, of course, just recently we had the big stink about First Street in Douglas, the cul-de-sac. I was over there just 3 or 4 days ago, looked at the cul-de-sac again, drove down there, and I think it's a great addition to the end of that road. And I know that Chief Etheridge and the firefighters that have to drive down to the end of that road and don't have to back up 1,300 feet to get turned around are going to appreciate it very much, and anybody else that drives down there. And that was another decision that we had to make as assembly members that wasn't in line with the neighborhood. But it was better for the overall of the city, I think. And those are some of the things that you have to do and make some of the hard decisions up here. And I know it's hard to do, but sometimes the harder ones you have to just really think about. And the last thing is thank yous. I see out there some division heads, Mr. Duncan, Mr. Panula, all the rest of you who are division heads and are workers within the city. I just want to really say thank you for all the interface that I've had with you over the past 9 years. And you've been respectful, even when I might not think right down the same line that you think. You've been respectful, and you've come forward with your ideas and thoughts, and we've had our debates back and forth one way or the other. And I've also, when I first came here, I had my holding hands of a fireman, because I'm a retired fire person for 30 years, in fact. And I put it here because I thought police and fire were the most important people in the city, you know. And I was very prejudiced about that. By golly, they were. They're heroes. But as I've sat here the past 9 years, I've gained a great deal of respect for all of the other divisions that are out there working hard for us every single day. There's a lot of things that can happen in our city, as the manager well knows, beyond a catastrophe like a fire or a catastrophe where we need our police officers, that could be just as big a catastrophe if we don't have our sewer system or our water system, all the things that we take for granted every single day. There's people that are working in our city government to keep those things running and running efficiently. Some of those individuals goof up. Some of them smart around and need to be called on the carpet every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs to be held accountable. But overall, those employees do a great job for us and the citizens of our town, and I just want to say thank you to them. This has been a very humbling experience for me. A kid from Southeast here and from Juneau here, grew up in the logging camps. I know my mom and dad are out at the Shrine, and they look down on me and say, good job, Merrill. You did a good job. You going to help me get through this?
I am. I think...
When I first started, my little saying was a lifetime of commitment, and I didn't realize, you know, that was just a little slogan picked out of the air by four or five of us. And I guess when I look back at my career as a Marine... as a pipeline builder of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, as a fire person for 30 years, on the Planning Commission for 4 years, on the Assembly for 9 years, I can say now that I truly have had a lifetime of commitment to our city as a whole. And to my wife, who is a little bit sick this morning tonight and under the weather, if any of you want to get an answer to your questions or thoughts, you can call her at any time. She's a Douglas girl. She's a Douglas girl, and she knows what she wants and what you need. So, senior staff, Rod, John, Deputy Mayor, Deputy Manager, Kim, I just got to say thank you for all the things that you guys do. We might not, again, always see eye to eye, but we can sit down and discuss the issues and the situations and move forward as a team and as a unit to get things done. And so I want to leave you, the assembly members, just one thing, and that's what I learned growing up in the woods and being in the Marine Corps. Teamwork is the biggest issue that you have to deal with. Not that you have to agree, because there's nine of us here, and we could all be like lawyers and have two or three different results coming out of our minds. But you need to sit down and really think about what you're doing and what's better for our community in your mind. And if it's different than some of the others, debate that, discuss that, have talks about that. But don't go off the rocket into nowhere land by yourself and do things that are destructive to our community. Because I know for sure in my heart that there's nobody here on this assembly or that works for us or that lives in our community that doesn't want the best community for all of us. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Mayor.
This is a record for Merrill in terms of his speaking. And we have a couple other members who are very sparing in their words. But, Merrill, it has been an honor to serve with you the last 8 years together. Merrill and I have been on different sides of issues occasionally, not that much, but occasionally, and on some very major issues. There's no doubt Merrill has been an incredible leader for the community and for this assembly. He is a plain speaker, and I have to say that in politics that's not a dominant characteristic. He's an independent thinker. I know the public tends to think of us in factions occasionally, and that we that we're beholden to one faction or another, or that we speak for it. Merrill can't be pigeonholed, and something all of us need to aspire to is he exercises his independent judgment. It's a good judgment. I can't say it's unfailing, especially when he disagrees with me. But Merrill, you have dedicated your life to this community. This just ends a chapter. I know that you will continue to be actively involved in the governance of this community, and I look forward to that. I don't think words can really express deeply enough our gratitude for the service you provided your community till now. Before I allow our three outgoing members to exit the dais here, we have tokens that we would of our appreciation for your respective service. And with Lori's help, let me begin here with the Peter. We have this plaque to commemorate your service, along with
thank you very much.
Note, and do the same here for now.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Proof of service.
Thank you.
And finally,
back in?
Yeah. Folks, I would ask you all to rise and join with me. Recess or at ease, and we have a little rearranging to do.
to KTOO-FM in Juneau, Alaska. We're on a slight break from the City and Borough of Juneau regular meeting.
We have next on our agenda the swearing-in of new Assembly members. I call on Mr. John Hartle.
Mr. Mayor, could bring up the newly elected member. One, two, three. I'll have your certificates of election.
Thank you.
And if there are family members with cameras, feel free to get in closer if you'd like.
And if you could raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I, do solemnly affirm, that I will support the Constitution, of the United States and the State of Alaska, and the laws of the State of Alaska and the City and Borough of Juneau. And that I will honestly and faithfully perform the duties of Assemblyman. Good luck.
Gentlemen, could you three turn to the audience? So, Randy, could I get you? I think there might be a couple other shots here that would be worth taking.
Thank you.
I think you're free to go.
The work.
No, Jesse, up here.
He needs his packet. Our next order of business is the selection of the deputy mayor, and for this I call on Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's my privilege and honor to move the appointment of David Stone as deputy mayor, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Congratulations, Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have next before us approval of the minutes. We have first before us the minutes of the September 19th, 2011, regular assembly meeting 2011-21. Are there any additions or corrections? Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 17, in the paragraph in section 12, starting, Ms. Danner said the Juneau Homeless Coalition meeting would be held. Third line down, she met with, it says search staff. That should be CERC, S-E-R-R-C, for Southeast Regional Resource Center.
Thank you. Are there any other additions or corrections? If not, is there objection to their adoption as amended? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us the minutes of the September 26, 2011, special meeting 2011-22. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us the minutes of the October 10, 2011, special meeting 2011-23. Again, are there any additions or corrections? If not, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Mr. Manager, any agenda changes?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us next to public participation on non-agenda items. I'm told that no one has requested the opportunity to address the Assembly. That means that we now turn to the consent agenda. Any member of the public may ask that an item other than an ordinance for introduction be withdrawn so that public testimony may be taken on that matter. Is there any member of the public who wishes to have an item removed from the consent agenda? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2011-24. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of U.S. Survey 1042, Track B, Wild Meadow Park, Tracks 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, and 11, U.S. Survey 1041, Track A, and U.S. Survey 1041, Track B, located near Wild Meadow Lane and Glacier Highway, currently zoned D1, transitioned to D5 to D1.
Mr. Manager.
The 2008 comprehensive plan maps show the city and borough-owned parcels as CBJ Recreational Service Park and CBJ Natural Area Park. The area set aside for the Raptor Center is shown as RS. That's Recreational Service Park. The comprehensive plan describes RS as parks developed for active recreational or programmed use. The CBJ-owned parcels in the Wild Meadow Park subdivision are identified as NP, that's Natural Area Park, and the plan describes that as lands characterized by areas of natural quality designed to serve the entire community by providing fish and wildlife habitat, open space natural areas, access to water, and opportunities for passive and dispersed recreation activities. The plan further provides that these areas should be zoned to prevent residential, commercial, and industrial development. The D1 zoning district most closely aligns with the 2008 comprehensive plan maps and accommodates future development of the Raptor Center. The Planning Commission recommended this action be adopted at its June 14, 2011 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-24? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Danner.
I would move Ordinance 2011-24 for the purpose of discussion.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just curious as to why we are these properties are zoned the way they are. It looks from the map that there is a road that goes into residential areas, and lots 1 through 3 and 8 through 11 appear to be as if they were platted for development, for residential development, and since we have a limited availability for residential lands, I just want clarification on why it is that the city feels this is the best use for this land.
Mr. Pernillo.
Maybe I should go to the map that's attached to the ordinance. It shows an entire area that at one time was designated D1, transitioned to D5. It included all the city-owned property, plus the subdivided area, plus a triangular area at the west end. As a sewer was being put in a year or two ago, the Planning Commission was asked to take a look at these transition zones and transition them to the higher intensity use as the sewer line get put in. So they took a look at it, and they transitioned the areas that are developed plus that triangular area to D5 so they could be further developed. But in accordance with the comprehensive plan, they're recommending instead of it going to D5 that it go to D1 permanently. What's shown is Tract A and Tract B was acquired by the city for several public purposes, including a Raptor Center. A Raptor Center would not be permitted in the D5 if it was transitioned to that area. And that's one of the reasons why that was recommended to go to D1. The remaining portion of it is all in Class B wetlands, pretty high-value wetlands, even though it does have a road going through it. There's four classes of wetlands that we have, A, B, C, and D. B is the second highest value wetlands that we have. And any permits on those lots that the city did acquire could be developed if they got a permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. That's basically the reasons.
Ms. Danner, any follow-up?
No, thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to be really clear. All of this land that you have that says D1 transition to D5, that is all city land?
All that's being considered tonight that's in the crosshatch is yes.
Okay. So that one house that's out kind of sits, looks like it's sort of in the wetland. It's been remodeled and so forth. Their land could still be subdivided, and so could the others that are down the road a little bit off of Wildflower.
Yes, in fact, they already transitioned to D5, and they are probably easier to develop at a higher density now than they would have a year ago.
Mr. Dibdell.
Yeah, the Wild Meadow Park area, that's also CBJ land?
Yes. The city acquired those. I don't have the date in front of me. I have them in the file, but we acquired them a number of years ago.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Keel.
Mr. Pannulla, the Department of Transportation has plans for Glacier Highway in this area, possibly Industrial Boulevard and Wild Meadow. Is there any interaction here with this action tonight? Would this pose any bar or create any complications for those plans?
Not whatsoever. The designation on the zoning map would only affect the use of the privately owned properties. If a public agency acquired that, including from the City and Borough of Juneau, they would have the right to expand the highway through this. Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Pannulla, I'm just curious, what are the contours of this property?
Very flat.
Very flat.
Okay. Ms. Becker?
Thank you. I remembered one other question I wanted to ask.
Certainly.
Behind this, and behind where the Raptor Center is going to be, there's kind of a hilly-like area, which could possibly be acceptable for homes later, maybe. That is going to be, is it zoned something now? Is it going to be falling in this, or where is that piece of land?
If you look at that map, due north of that Tract A and Tract B area, it's an area designated D1 transition to D5. I would assume that once sewer is available back there, it could also be transitioned to D5, and there's not much of that, as much of that that's wetland, so yes, it could be developed.
Ms. Tanner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Pannulla, I'm confused on two matters. I'm confused as to why the city acquired these lots when they look like they're platted for development, and then we've been talking in lands about developing Peterson Hill, the area behind, as residential, and I'm wondering why we're changing this to D1. We could still, it doesn't sound like we're positioning ourselves to ever sell it, that it's just natural parkland. Will this, having the Raptor Center out in Track A, get in the way of our access for Peterson development?
I don't believe so. At least a zone change would not affect that. It's still city-owned property, and that I know that a couple of years ago we did a study to look at access to Peterson Hill, and a couple of the options were through this property, yes. And it's still, this would not change those options. On the other issue, looking at the deed for the property, here's what it says, and just based on what it says about the land, it appears as though the city may have acquired those lots for park purposes. Here's what it says. And this is right in the deed. It says, signs shall not be permitted on any of the tract for the subdivision other than a for sale sign no more than 3 feet by 3 feet in size, and such signs as reasonably necessary to inform the public of the boundaries, entrances, exits, and restrictions related to public park and other uses to which the city and borough of Juneau may put tracts 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, and 11. So just based on that language, it appears as though that was the intent of the city's purchase of that property.
Mr. Pannulla, I could be wrong here, but I am assuming this was part of the Greenbelt acquisition that was done in the 1980s.
That was before I came here, I believe so.
Shoot. Doesn't have a date on it.
Mr. Mayor, that was my recollection as well. It was part of that whole greenbelt development from that point back to River Road, and that was part of the full parcel at the time.
Further discussion? Is there objection?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel.
Just, I don't know if this is the appropriate time to mention, I think there's a typographical error on page 1, line 23. It references National Area Park. Should probably be natural.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
With that correction, is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to Ordinance 2010-11-BB. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,834,051 to fund the City and Borough of Juneau's fiscal year 2011 public employee retirement system contribution, funding provided by the Alaska Department of Administration.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance actually is a housekeeping ordinance that will appropriately reflect for accounting purposes budget to actual the state's 5.96% PERS contribution for fiscal year 11. This is the amount that the state pays in excess of the prior 22% employer contribution that we pay. They pay the remainder. And since this amount represents contributions through June 30th, 2011, we just got the final accounting from the state. So that's why we're just now bringing this to you. So, again, it's just for accounting purposes. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed, and we're ready for assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I would move for adoption ordinance 2010-11-BB.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We move next to ordinance 2011-11-P. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $80,000 as partial funding for the affordable housing coordinator position, grant funding provided by the Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation Community Homeless Coordination Grant Program.
Mr. Manager.
We received a grant from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation for $80,000. The grant's intended to partially fund the affordable housing coordinator contract that we have with the Juneau Economic Development Council for fiscal year 12 and fiscal year 13. So the Assembly designated $60,000 from the Affordable Housing Fund to help support this coordinator position, and then we would utilize $40,000 of this $80,000, making a total of $100,000 that would fund that position. And then next year in the regular budget, we'll again allocate the remaining $40,000 coupled with $60,000 from the fund for $100,000 to fund that position in 13. So the Assembly Lands Committee, at its August 15th meeting, recommended this grant, acceptance of this grant, and I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11-P? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-11-P and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We've moved next to Ordinance 2011-11-Q. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $166,922 as additional funding for the Juneau International Airport Runway Safety Area Capital Improvement Project, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Transportation.
Mr. Manager.
The title is pretty self-explanatory. This ordinance will appropriate $166,922 to the Airport Runway Safety Area Project. These funds come from the Department of Transportation. The Airport Board approved this recommendation at its March 9th meeting. And I should also point out, several of you asked the question, this appears to be the same as a previous ordinance that you adopted. It is not. It's an entirely separate grant from the other that included federal highway money and state DOT money and the match. And if Patty's here, if you want more explanation of that. But as I understand it, we're going to see a lot of these kind of piecemeal, small grants dribbling in because Congress has not funded FAA for very long duration. So as a result, funds are sort of dribbling out and coming to DOT or coming to us, and then we're going to appropriate it, whereas normally we'd get a large chunk and you wouldn't be dealing with a lot of appropriation grants. So more explanation than you need, but I thought I'd point that out. So I would recommend we adopt this ordinance.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11-Q? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Dibdahl.
Thank you. I'd like to move Ordinance 2011-11-Q and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We move next to Ordinance 2011-11-R. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $26,254 as additional funding for the Crisis Intervention Specialist, grant funding provided by the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Justice Programs.
Mr. Manager.
The Crisis Intervention Specialist person is located within the police department, and they work with victims of domestic violence. And it's been a really nice position that we've recently added the last couple of years, and we've been able to fully fund it through grants like this. So it's nice to continue to get this grant support. It's for personnel services only, and we'll extend funding through the position through March of 2012. There's no matching funds required for this grant, and we're hoping that we will continue to get grant funding to keep this position going beyond March 2012, but there's no guarantee. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-11-R and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. It brings us next on our agenda to new business, and we have before us the Docks and Harbors Department P&D Engineers Contract Amendment. Mr. Manager.
They're requesting assembly approval of a contract amendment for Preditch, Nottingham & Drage Engineers in the amount of $172,000 for additional work at Stader Harbor Launch Ramp. PNND was competitively selected to provide planning, environmental permitting, design, and construction-related services for the new launch ramp facility. This amendment would cover the next phase of service for obtaining an Army Corps of Engineers permit for the proposed facility. The Docks and Harbors Board recommended this action at a September 29, 2011 meeting.
Pleasure of the Assembly. Ms. Danner.
I would move Assembly approval of a contract amendment for PND Engineering, Inc. in the amount of $150,000 for additional work on the Stader Harbor project.
You've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Dibdahl.
I just have a question. With the number of projects that Docks and Harbors has in the city and borough, how many? Is there one single contract with PNND for all of these services, or do we have multiple contracts, and this is one of many that are being extended?
Do we have a representative from the
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize this was here.
You can tell if we could put you on the spot.
I'm calling to the port director. Since the PND does have the lion's share of all of our contracts for design and engineering services, the Stader Harbor, this particular $172,000 is contract modification. Essentially, it arose because of the mitigation issues that are going on. The plan is to fill about 4.1 acres uplands, and to work with Fish and Wildlife and the Corps of Engineers to get the permit, there's going to be additional mitigation work. The reasons it is a not-to-exceed contract is because we do not know the level of effort required to procure and secure those 404B permits.
Further questions?
Mr. Dipple. Just a follow-up. For this particular project, then, this is phase two, and how many additional phases are there?
Well, at Stutter Harbor, we have one design that's ready to move forward for the replacement of DeHart's Marina at Stutter. This is the uplands phase of the Stutter improvements. So those will be the only two phases for the Auk Bay facility.
Further questions?
I guess one last follow-up. I'm just wondering, you know, as we get these extensions, at what point is there a bid ever going out again for any other engineer group? Because we get lost in these extensions, it seems like, and there are multiple extensions. So I'd just like that sometime clarified.
Mr. Yucatel, what would be helpful perhaps would if your staff could develop a chart that would basically lay out each of the contracts, design contracts that are there, the amount and of each of the extensions and the number of them. I think that information probably would be helpful to the entire body, and it would provide the overview. Again, I appreciate your coming forward. Let me ask again, are there any further questions? Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Manager, do you have any staff report for us?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Attorney.
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Then we move to assembly reports. I am now distributing my recommendation to the body in terms of assembly assignments for the coming year. Give members a moment to review, and then I will ask for a motion to approve. Kim, could you make... Kim, are there extra copies for the two media folks? Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move approval of your committee assignments.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That does bring us to committee reports. Let me determine whether we have any committees that we're planning on reporting tonight. If not, we move to liaison reports. Let me ask Mr. Dibdahl, any liaison reports?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing.
Ms. Becker?
Of course, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to tell you that the school district is having a wonderful two-day Literacy Alaska State Literacy Conference at Thunder Mountain, and it's going very, very well. And they have the school board has a meeting tomorrow night where they will organize and elect their officers, and they will also elect their budget committee because they're getting ready to prepare their budget for us. The chamber had a wonderful discussion about the FAA. A Federal Aviation came by and did the next gen talk, and there's, of course, it's funding has to come forth for some of these wonderful things. But this is a great book about it, and anyone wants to borrow it, it's available. The Alaska Committee met, and the entire meeting was on Coast Guard housing and the necessity of it, and how very much the Coast Guard needs rentals, and actually there are many people who would like to purchase homes if they can sell their homes down south. They like to purchase when they're up here, but they definitely need rentals, and I have numbers where you could call if when you go online to the Coast Guard and do that if you have a place to rent. And that's all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As my last report as Docks and Harbors liaison, I just wanted to say that it's been a real pleasure to serve in that position, and I trust that it is going to good hands with Ms. Becker. And Docks and Harbors, the Assembly all received a copy of a letter from Parks and Rec about the Seawalk and urging Tidelands along the front of the Seadrome building to be set aside for that purpose. And I wanted to report that that is on the agenda for the coming, this would be the 27th, a week from Thursday, Docks and Harbors meeting. So that's a good one. And also, I wanted to report back to this group. I'm sorry that Mr. Sanford's already gone. I know how interested he was in the Douglas Breakwater. And I feel the need to report that the Douglas Breakwater, in the middle of its installation process, hit a snag, so to speak. The terrain that they were drilling into was not as expected. This is a Army Corps of Engineers project, their design work. We are involved at the Docks and Harbors level, but and with some funding requirement. But we actually received a rebate of sorts for overpayment, and so the cost to fix this particular problem is less than the money we already have on we were already on the hook for. So that's a good thing. The really important thing to all of us, I think, is to know that Docks and Harbors is committed, and our contractor, I think, is committed to getting this done before the winter season sets in. So that's the biggest challenge, and I wanted to make sure you were all aware of it.
Thank you. Mr. Stone.
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us then to Assembly comments and questions. Call first on Mr. Wanamaker. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back with everybody, and I have no other report to make tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Just to say that it's very great to be here. I'm looking forward to a collaborative body and being part of the team, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Along the same lines as Ms. Becker mentioned with the Coast Guard, the Legislative Affairs Agency, as every year, is soliciting housing opportunities for rentals for those folks who come to the capital city for the legislative session, and folks can get in touch with the Executive Director's Office at the Legislative Affairs Agency if they have rentals available to offer. That's the only item I have to report. Let me echo my colleagues. I'm very much looking forward to working with each of you, and really honored to sit here with you. Thank you.
Mr. Dimdall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to welcome the three members. Randy, of course, isn't new. I haven't decided which one I'm going to pick on here, but I'll figure it out here in the next month or two.
Ms. Crane.
I would just like to add words of welcome to the new members and say that I look forward to working with each of you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you. Also, welcome. It's really great to have the three of you on board. It's going to be good working with you. And I also wanted to just say that I did go to Rory's AJ Mine discussion, his public discussion, because I learn something every time I go. And he really does a great job. He really does. He's clear, and it's easy to understand. He has good pictures, and I just thought it was very well done. And I think that this whole issue of mining in Juneau is so important that the Alaska State Literacy Conference's theme is mining for meaning. They must have known something. I don't know. Thank you.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know what else I can add except welcome. I look forward to learning a great deal from all three of you. Randy's already taught me plenty, but I'm sure there's more I can learn. So, welcome. I look forward to Alaska Municipal League coming up in a couple of weeks in Fairbanks. On my way there, I've been invited to an alternative high school conference. I will be attending with members of the Yakuska-Dakhiti community and looking forward to finding out how we can, what our strengths are and how we can improve on them here in Juneau. Additionally, let's see, since we met last, I did a tour of the 7 Mile facility at Public Works. Thank you very much to Mr. Duncan. And also saw the inside of the Juneau Douglas Bridge, something that I didn't know even existed. So now I know where the water, how the water gets there and how the sewage gets back. And it's important information to have. So it's good.
Particularly in your new position as a member of the Public Works and Facilities Committee.
Exactly, exactly. And I might have one more thing. Oh, a question. Did anyone here attend the DNR meeting that was on October 12th at Centennial Hall? I'm interested to know what if anybody has a report on that.
Did anyone? And the answer is no.
Okay. Then I'm done. Thank you very much.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, welcome to the new members and also our veteran assembly member, Mr. Wanamaker. Good to have you all on board. Thank you all for your vote of confidence in putting me in this position. And I just want to say big shoes to fill. Mr. Sanford was a mentor to me, a fantastic assembly member, and I don't think anybody worked harder. It was more prepared, and that guy drove everywhere in this town and looked at every project. And when in doubt and I didn't know how to vote, I voted with Merrill. But we didn't always agree on everything, just like the mayor and Mr. Sanford, but I will very much miss him and appreciate his service. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I think we can count on Merrill driving the streets of Juneau to check on those projects as a private citizen, and we will hear about it. Or I should say the manager will hear about it. Mr. Manager, anything further?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Harlow?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Let me ask, is there any member of the public who wishes to address us yet on a non-agenda item? If not, we'll see the assembly tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in our retreat. We are adjourned.